Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we discuss updates from Fabrizio Romano around Carlos Baleba and Lewis Hall. Also, the journalistic PR continues. Well, starts again for Marcus Rashford. We called it would happen. It's literally happening. Apparently, it was all Amrim's fault that Rashford left. Nothing to do with Wilcox, Berardi, Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Glazers, who would have to sign it off. But the PR is about to kick off. Should we counter it or should we just get on board with it? We'll discuss that as well. Also, how much could Manchester United actually have spent this summer? Very interesting piece this morning we're going to delve into a little bit later in the show as well. And still a little bit of fallout in relation to Carragher's comments about how Man United are conducting a really good summer. They're not. Carragher's completely missed the point, but we'll delve into that because some people think Jamie Carragher is speaking more sense about Man United than the vast majority of the Man United fan base. Probably bots, but we'll still expose them because that's what needs to happen. I hope you're doing very well today. Of course, it is a match day as well. Man United, 4 o'clock, will be live with a watch along. Copenhagen, PSG, Manchester United, PSG reserves really, but Man United, PSG, we'll be seeing people like Bruno and Tielemans. So looking forward to that as well. Just a little bit on that as well. A bit of scaremongering around Sesko. Sesko's training with the first team and will be part of the tour to Dublin next week and could be playing against AC Milan a week today as well. So good stuff around Sesko. Some people scaremongering about his injury. It was never about him being injured for the start of the season. It was always about him pacing himself to be fit for the start of the season, which he will be. Okay, let's get into some of the news then. First off, we're going to start off with Fabrizio Romano talking about what's happening with Man United's midfield and left back. He said that with regards to Baleba, Baleba pushed like crazy to join United last summer and he's done it again this summer. Look, apparently United want players that are desperate to play for Manchester United and Baleba is desperate, absolutely. His Instagram game's gone up over the last 2 months. I think he's just trying to hope that Wilcox is scrolling and sees Baleba and thinks, oh, we tried him last year. But Romano says the injury definitely complicates the situation and Man United are not currently looking at a deal with Baleba. So, yes, he's desperate to come. But in all honesty, desperation to sign for Manchester United is not really the big thing, is it? And just a bit of breaking news, Vitek has just signed for Middlesbrough. We knew that was going to happen, but that has just happened as well. But desperation shouldn't be the key to coming to Manchester United. I mean, Liam Delap is probably desperate to sign for Manchester United now, you know? Jordan Henderson would probably have been desperate to sign for Manchester United. Just because someone's desperate to sign for Manchester United, that for me is one of the last things that makes me want to sign a player. But I think that the most important thing is, and we have said this all summer, whilst Baleba was on the list last summer, and he is on the list this summer, there are a lot of names ahead of Carlos Baleba. And the fact that he's now injured means that the chances of United going down that list to him are very limited, because even if we got to his name now, he's injured and he's expensive. So Baleba to Man United, whilst not impossible, has never been part of the plan. And I think it's, I actually saw somebody on X this morning saying, do you think Man United have been working in the shadows on a deal for Baleba? And that's why they want him to push for a move so he can get the price down. These people need rounding up and putting into education school about how Man United work, because the fact that we're nearly in the middle of August, we've only got 3 weeks left in the window, and there still are genuine Man United fans who think we've been working quietly in the shadows, trying to get Baleba to get Brighton to get the price down. I mean, both things are complete and utter fantasy. Man United can't work quietly in the shadows. Man United wear clown boots and tambourines on the knees. You can hear them coming down the road a mile off. So we can't work quietly in the shadows. It's impossible to do that. And also, Baleba can't say to Brighton, lower my price either. I mean, lower my price, please, so I can move. It's just not going to work, is it? So, no, we're not working in the shadows. And no, Baleba's not going to get the price down. And he's also injured at the moment. So, look, he's not on the list at the moment. And he's very unlikely to be on the list, which I think is a good thing. Because if you watched the show last night, you've still got Enmecha, Alex Scott, Bergvall, Kone, Stiller. All five players still very much available in the midfield market. I've never known a midfield market like it. There are still opportunities for Manchester United there. Fabrizio also spoke about Lewis Hall. He said that Newcastle have made it very clear to Lewis Hall and Manchester United that they do not want to sell him, but Hall remains a United target. Now, I think it's really important on this just to add a little bit of context. Fabrizio Romano literally did say in his latest updates that Lewis Hall remains a target for Manchester United. Now, it's up to you as individuals, you're intelligent people, to make your mind up about which way you go with that. You could say, well, Tchouaméni was a dream target. He's staying at Real Madrid. Elliot Anderson was the number one priority. He's now at Manchester City. Mateus Fernandes was a target. He now plays for Spurs. So just because somebody is a target for Manchester United doesn't mean it's going to happen. Or you could read it and go, this means that Man United are going to go in for with a bid for Lewis Hall later in the window. As I said to you last night, if Man United sign Lewis Hall for £70 million, I'll take my top off, I'll run around the garden and I'll celebrate the fact that we've actually overpaid for somebody. I would love United to go and spend £70, £80 million on somebody now so we can go up yours, up yours, up yours to these morons who think we shouldn't spend big money anymore. I would absolutely love Lewis Hall to be a target for Manchester United. I'd absolutely love us to chuck the money on the table so that Newcastle go, yes, we'll take it. And it will take a lot of money. And I'd love us to do that. And, I would applaud the club for doing that. But I don't think we are going to do it. I think it's effectively going to be a bit like Tchouaméni, a bit like Elliot Anderson, a little bit like Mateus Fernandes, where we want the player, but we won't pay it. So, look, these are the sort of updates that I like Fabrizio. I like Ben Jacobs. I like David Ornstein. But ultimately, their job is to report news. Man United targeting Lewis Hall is true. But there's also another bit of news where we know we won't go and do it. And I'm a little bit tired of it because we just won't do it. Where are we going to go in relation to left back next? I don't know. But I can't see us. I can't see us doing it realistically. I just can't. A couple of comments coming in from you this morning. Journalists already doing the Glazer PR today, says Ian O'Connell. Yeah, well, look, I want to talk about this because, I've always said I don't have a massive problem with Marcus Rashford. My problem is with the club. Marcus Rashford wanted to be at Barcelona. The club wouldn't allow that to happen because they set a stupid fee that no one was going to pay. And now that's backfired. Rashford doesn't want to be at Man United. Man United don't want Rashford to be at Man United. That's my issue, is that I think we've been lied to a lot over the last 2 years by this ownership. And some of us are just very tired of it. And sometimes, sometimes you're happy to be a little bit fake. You know, it's Christmas Day. You've opened your presents from your parents and your auntie and your rich uncle and auntie, and you've had all the presents you like. And everything else is just a bonus now. And, you open up your grand's present, it's shit. But you go, oh, brilliant. Absolutely love. I really do like Lynx Africa and dark chocolate. I love it. And you fake it a little bit. You want to keep everybody happy. It's a great day. You've got the stuff you wanted. You want to protect your gran's feelings. So you just play it out and go, oh, thanks, gran. And you even give her a kiss and you say, thank you very much. You fake it to make it, really. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind going, if Man United had bought Tchouaméni and Elliot Anderson and Mateus Fernandes and Lewis Hall and Marcus Rashford was coming back, I'd go, we've had a fucking amazing summer transfer window. I don't think Rashford wants to come back. I don't think United want him back, but we've had an amazing summer transfer window. Does it really matter if Rashford comes back? But in the context of the summer we've had and Rashford coming back, it's just another irritant, really. It's fake. That's my problem with it. It's fake. He doesn't want to be here. We don't want him to be here. But now, for the next few weeks, we're all going to have to pretend. Well, we're not going to have to pretend. The club and Rashford are going to have to pretend that they love each other. And the problem is, this is a problem because I think the fan base is more intelligent than the board. And they're going to play this game of, oh, yeah, Starboy's coming home. And it's like, but we know you wanted to get rid of him. We know you wanted to get rid of him. And I said this would happen, and it's funny. First and foremost, Rashford will reunite with the Man United squad tomorrow in Dublin for the training camp tomorrow with Manu Martinez as well, back as well. So Rashford's back tomorrow with the squad, and we're all going to see all the hugging and smiling and boots under the arm stuff. We're going to see all that. But the one that sort of caught my eye this morning, and I predicted this was going to happen, and I think this is what Ian's talking about, James Ducker in The Telegraph. So I said, what's going to happen is next week is all the client journalists, whether it's The Athletic, The Telegraph, The Manchester Evening News, they're all going to get briefed by the club to pin it all on Amorim, and that the club really do love Rashford and Rashford loves the club and Amorim is the villain. And we're playing Amorim next Sunday. So we'll build that up and we'll pin everything on Amorim. And really, United love Rashford and Rashford loves United. And I called it. I knew it was going to come a mile off. It literally started this morning. James Ducker. Marcus Rashford is about to report back to Man United and coincidentally could be lining up in Poland next Saturday against the manager who bombed him out at Old Trafford last summer. Disgusting. Disgusting bullshit, not journalistic, rubbish, client journalism. I'm bored of it because it's not journalism. It's just PR. Amorim had a part to play in Marcus Rashford leaving Man United. Absolutely. I would even generously say maybe 50% of the reason he left was Ruben Amorim, because the manager is the coach and the coach is the person who picks the team, and he didn't pick Rashford and he was on board with removing Rashford. So, of course, Amorim has to take some responsibility. But let's go back to the article of Andy Mitten. Every previous manager of Manchester United had a problem with Marcus Rashford. Are we going to bury that now? Let's go back to January and the prospect of Rashford returning when Carrick came in. Not likely. Numerous reports in January. Not likely. Because although Amorim removed Rashford from the team, it was Wilcox and the board that removed him from the club. So we've been told for 18 months that Rashford was a problem in the club before Amorim came in. The club wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to get rid of the wage. But now the club are going to try and pin it all on Ruben Amorim, who literally didn't have the power to remove Marcus Rashford on his own anyway. Like, we literally don't have a coach since Ten Hag. And even Ten Hag would have needed board support. Ruben Amorim could not be in the boardroom and say, I don't care what you say, Jason. I don't care what you say, Omar. I don't care what you say, Christopher. And I don't care what you say, Sir Jim. We're getting rid of him. And we're meant to believe that Wilcox, Berarda, Sir Jim Ratcliffe sat there going, don't do it. Don't get rid of the star boy. Bollocks. They wanted rid of him. So that's what sticks in my claw, is that we're going to have a week of being lied to again by the same outlets, the same board, who won't own up to the fact that they want Rashford out of the club. They wanted Rashford out of the club. And they're going to try and pin it all on Amorim, which makes no sense at all. Who I don't blame is Rashford. I don't like to see the blame apportioned to Rashford. I don't blame Rashford at all. He's probably the only honest person in this. He sat there at that Christmas when Amorim was in charge and did that interview and said, it's probably time for a new challenge. Effectively, I want to leave Man United. He went to Aston Villa. He did quite well. He got a move to Barcelona. He did quite well. And realistically, we should have let him go. But we tried to then take him for money that he wasn't worth. And now no one will buy him and he's coming back. I don't blame Rashford at all. I think it's ridiculous that he's coming back. Personally, I don't even know what to think. It sounds crazy to say this, but if he's coming back, we need to start him. He is the best paid player in the club. If we don't start him, it's just another headache for Carrick. I think you've got to start him, as weird as it seems. I mean, look, he shouldn't be at Man United. He shouldn't be at Manchester United. It's ridiculous. The club have briefed against him. They've tried to get rid of him. They classed him as a member of the bomb squad. For them to be bringing him back is so embarrassing on the club's level. But This is a prime example of failing up, though, isn't it? This is what they've got away with numerous times in the last 2 years. They make shockingly bad decisions and somehow they manage to luck it out. So when you sack Amrim halfway through the season, you don't even know whether to go with Carrick or Ollie. You're that unorganised. You give it to Carrick and then he gets third place. So they have this weird thing, which will run out eventually, where they make bad decisions and it ends up fluking a good decision. So as wild as it is to bring Rashford back, it wouldn't surprise me if he came in and scored 20 goals in the Premier League. But then I look at it and I look at the problems before. Look, when I analyse Rashford's game, he's 29 this season. He's probably going to lose pace. He's probably going to pick up more injuries. And he is somebody that likes to cut inside and shoot, which can get quite one-dimensional. So I don't know that the problems of the past are going to disappear in a league that I don't know whether he can compete in anymore. I thought he did very well in La Liga because he was playing for the best team in the league and half the league's not that good. I think Bayern Munich would have been a great move for him. So I don't know how he's going to do as a player. Obviously, I wish him well because he's a Man United player and I don't blame him. But the board, I'm not having that. I'm not having it. And I don't think anybody should have it. It's not fair to try and blame Ruben Amorim for this when the club wanted Rashford, Casemiro and Sancho out the minute Ineos got in. They wanted those 350 grand a week wages gone. And Rashford was a player they wanted gone. And also, let's not forget, the Belfast thing happened when Amorim wasn't here. That was around the time Ineos came in. So they'd made their mind up about Rashford way before Amorim. And they have to take responsibility for that. And I don't like the predictability of briefing their client journalists to pin it all on Amorim when Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada, Sir Jim Radcliffe and Joel Glazer were a massive part of getting Rashford out of this club. And now they look like a bunch of prats bringing him back. I don't think Rashford looks a prat, though. Give me your opinion. But that's I could see it coming a mile off. It's pure PR. And I'm just very uncomfortable, as a lot of people are, with Rashford being back tomorrow and we're all meant to go smiley, happy. Oh, he's back. Starboy's back. And what about the last 18 months? What about his post where he thanked Villa and Emery and Flick and Barcelona and Tuchel and never mentioned Man United? Like, the relationship ended. Good or bad, it ended. And now we're meant to pretend, oh, everything's fine. So it's just a bit. And then you add it into what's a shit transfer window and you sort of go, ugh. But we have got to get on with it. Like, we have got to get on with it. I'm very, very determined not to say, I don't want him back. He can fuck off or anything like that. Because I don't blame him. It's the club. I just find the whole situation really embarrassing that we're having to do this after a shit transfer window. It's just embarrassing. That's what it is. But if he's going to wear a Man United shirt, for me, he's got to start on the left wing and hopefully he's going to have a good season, because what I don't want is the best paid player at Man United being spoken about for 70% of every press conference every week, twice a week. So, and look, somebody in the chat said, do you think he could still get loaned out? I mean, I think that's the best option for everybody, but he has a wage. He literally has had a pay rise as well, because we're in the Champions League. His wages have gone up by 25%, despite it was nothing to do with the team last year, but that's the contract he's got. So he's not even on 300 grand a week now. He'll be on 330 grand a week. So he's literally had a 25% pay rise. So, I mean, I don't even know, 300 grand, no, he'd be up 350 grand a week, wouldn't he? So I read something the other day that they did change it after the summer of Mason Mount. So Xerxes doesn't get a 25% pay increase because we're in the Champions League, because he didn't start enough games. But Mason Mount does get it, even though he didn't start enough games, because they only brought it in with contracts after Mason Mount. So Mason Mount will get a 25% pay rise. Marcus Rashford will get a 25% pay rise as well. So Rashford could be on somewhere between 325 and 375 grand a week. You can't bench a player like that. And I know a lot of people are angry with me saying that, but I know this club. You know this club. If Rashford stays and we put him on the bench, every bloody question in the press conference, every day, it will just be this. And I'm like, if they're going to bring him back, well, he's your best paid player. Pick him. Excuse me, pick him. That's what, but that's what I mean. The situation's embarrassing. It's totally and utterly embarrassing. Ken Shamble says it's not a pay rise. Ken, I'm sorry to expose you, but if somebody's on a certain wage and if you qualify for the Champions League, it goes up by 25%. But if you don't qualify for the Champions League, it stays as it is. What the hell is it if it's not a pay rise? If your wage goes from here to here, if you're in the Champions League, but it stays there if you're not, what the hell is it if it's not an increase in wages, mate? Come on. Grow up. We've been outspent by River Plate. The patients are running the asylum, says Steve Kelvin. 15 years ago, we wouldn't accept Rashford returning. What happened to the club? Look, Rashford would not be returning to Man City. He would not be returning to Liverpool. He would not be returning to Arsenal, and he would not be returning to Chelsea. It's a small club mentality. I don't blame Rashford. I blame the club. It's embarrassing. If every coach had a problem with Rashford before Amrin, that would include Ollie and Carrick, and they still offered him a 300 a week contract. I reckon he wanted to leave then, says Emily Derry. Well, there was a fallout between Solskjaer and Rashford because Ollie had to apologise, didn't he, in an interview. Something of interest. Nice have signed zero players this transfer window. Lausanne have signed one, both clubs owned by Ineos. Business owners do what's best for them. They want stadium cash, says T-Man. Ben says Rashford hit the Uno reverse in the bomb squad, says Ben. And Tech says people like Rangnick, Liverpool are having a slow window, but they'll finish above us. Thwaites, glaring talents ignored because of the Fletchers. I worry about the Fletchers, actually, Tech Empire. I do worry about the Fletcher brothers. I'm always very protective of the youth. It's not, you know, we should be protective of the youth. But Thwaites hasn't been called up. JJ's not been called up, but the Fletchers have. And you look at the response and it's really bad for them. I can't tell people how to think. That's not what the United Stand's all about. You give an opinion, some people agree with it and some people don't. But what I would say is Manchester United, there are things that the Glazers and Ineos can't destroy. And we are a football club that, you know, prides itself on our youth and our development of youth. And I don't think it's very constructive to start calling the Fletchers shit and only in the team because of their dad and loan them out and stuff like that. You're sort of writing them off before they've been given a chance. And I've seen a lot of it and it is concerning. But it's also a symptom of the club. If the club were playing well, we wouldn't have this. And this is what starts to happen when things are, you know, not going well. People look for targets, and I don't think they should be our targets. Start of window, loans to spend, loads to spend, now nothing, says Isaac. If Amrin loved him, would he have ever left, says Robert McCormack. No, I don't think Amrin did like Rashford, but I don't think he's the reason he was kicked out of Man United either. I think the board had a massive part to do with that, Robert. That's what I'm saying. I think Amrin has to take some responsibility, but what you're going to read over the next few days from all the client journalists is that Amrin was responsible 100%, and he wasn't. Hand of Duke says no one is saying don't spend big, most just aren't freaking out that they aren't. Also disagree with your Rashford take. Barca agreed to pay then rent. No, you're wrong, Hand of Doug. You're completely wrong. Man United asked for 25 million for Barcelona. Barcelona said we're not going to pay the 25 million but we will pay you 13, and United said no. Where's the 25 million on offer from anybody else? It's not there. In a market where everybody's paying silly money, no one will pay £25 million for Rashford. So the price was wrong. My boss said Rashford is a new signing. I resigned, says Mr. Hickey. What are we doing this summer? Last year, we finished 15th and spent £60 million on three signings. This summer, we finished third and only made two signings, combining 85. Where's the big window they said about, says JSG. And our net spend, including all fees, is less than Everton this season. Let that sink in. Ipswich have a bigger spend than us. I think Bournemouth do now as well. Mikael, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for that. A couple of the things I want to get into as well this morning. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in, nearly 10,000 of you. So there was also a comment from, there was this comment yesterday. Let me just read this out. So there was a comment yesterday
that Jamie Carragher made about Man United. And he said that it feels like Man United's strategy for years has been an obsession around signing big name players. It doesn't feel like this summer they're on a mission to get a big name. It's not about the name. It's about what's right for the team. And it feels like they're going down that road, which is probably healthy. Somebody replied to our tweet saying, Carragher speaks more sense on United than anyone. Klopp built his Liverpool midfield with Henderson, Fabinho and Wijnaldum. Not glamorous, but they were what were needed to go with Trent, Robertson, Mane, Firmino and Salah. Right. There's a few things I want to say about this, because it's dangerous when people misinterpret shit as chocolate mousse. They end up with a stinky breath. And Carragher is talking shit, and so is the person who's replied there. Jamie Carragher is not a Man United fan, and maybe from the outside looking in, he doesn't have the understanding that you do. When he says Man United appear to not want big names this summer, and instead they're going down the route of going for what's best for the team and not a big name, he hasn't watched Man United's summer transfer window. We want Lewis Hall. He's a big name. We just won't pay for him. We negotiated with Mateus Fernandes. He's a big name. We just didn't want to pay for £85 million. Tchouaméni was a dream target. He's a big name. We just didn't get him. And Elliot Anderson was our number one priority. He went for £115 million. We didn't get him. So when Carragher says that Man United don't want to sign big players, I've just named four that we categorically wanted but didn't get because we couldn't afford it. Well, we could afford it. We just didn't want to pay it. So how can Carragher sit there and say, I like Man United's new approach. They're not obsessed with big players. They're going for the right players at the right price. But that wasn't the plan. And when people champion him, what he says, it's because that's what they think the plan is or they want the plan to be. But that wasn't the plan. This is not even a debate. Carragher's saying Man United have targeted people like Tielemans and Santos like we did it from the start, which we didn't. Santos and Tielemans could be good signings, but they're option F and G. Anderson, Tonali, Tchouaméni, Fernandes, Lewis Hall. These were all the targets we wanted. We just got priced out of the market. So you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't get Tielemans and Santos and pretend that was the plan all along. It wasn't. The plan was Anderson, Mateus Fernandes, Lewis Hall, Tchouaméni. We just got outpriced. So you can't. It's like you're going to Cornwall from Manchester. The logical route is M6, M5. Yeah? You make a wrong turn. The M6 is shut down because of an accident and the M5 is clogged. And even though you've gone the longer route, you end up where you want to get quicker by accident. You can't sit there and go, yeah, it was masterstroke. I predicted the future that the M6 was going to get shut down and therefore there'd be a backlog on the M5. I didn't take the wrong turn. I actually purposely went the long way, which took... You see what I mean? It's failing up again, isn't it? You can't give credit for stumbling onto something that you think is a good idea. The plan factually was not Tielemans and Santos. It was Mateus Fernandes, Elliot Anderson, Tchouaméni. So when Carragher sits there and goes, I like the Man United approach. It's healthy. It's new. They're going for names that are, you know, cheaper, that are better for the team than the big names. If that had been the plan in May, fine. Glaze it. But it's not the plan. It wasn't the plan. So why are people pretending like Carragher speaks sense? He's not speaking sense. He's speaking nonsense because that wasn't the plan. And also, the person who replied and went, we're taking a Liverpool approach to it, like what Klopp did with Fabinho and Henderson and Wijnaldum. Hold on a minute. One of the best midfield rebuilds I've ever seen in Premier League history was conducted in the space of 3 months by Liverpool Football Club under Jurgen Klopp in 2023. He bought Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, McAllister and Endo in 3 months of a summer transfer window and rebuilt his midfield, which became the core of a team that won the league title. The cost of that midfield was £60 million for Szoboszlai, £40 million for Gravenberch and £40 million for McAllister. Well, that adds up to 140 million plus whatever Endo did. It's £150 million spend 3 years ago. So inflation probably pushes that even higher. So you've got people saying we should follow the Jurgen Klopp route. That's what we're trying to do. They literally spent £150 million on their midfield rebuild 3 years ago. Where's our spend on our midfield? So people can't even lie straight in bed. They're trying to compare us to Liverpool and the rebuild of them. They literally spent £150 million on their midfield rebuild 3 years ago. And this is my point. People twist and turn to try and make things make sense that don't make any sense. And also, the mic drop for me is, even if you think Carragher's talking sense, even if you think buying cheap is the way to go, can somebody please tell me when this has ever worked? It's almost like the guy who wants to power his house on farts. You know, he wants to fart in a fucking wind machine and power his house. You know, ethically, environmentally, what a great way to live. You know, you eat baked beans all day and then you fart for the next few hours and you power your house. But it won't work. It's some sort of... You get a lot of people in the world like this now. It's this ideology without common sense. I'm not going to say it any further than that because I think we all know about ideologies and politics and all sorts that's going on in the world based on ideologies that don't make any sense. That's not where I'm going with this. There seems to be this in our fan base, and I think Carragher's talking about it and other people are talking about it. Oh, we're so fed up. We're so fed up of people spending big money. I actually think it might be a healthy thing to just buy players for cheap. Why? When in the Premier League has this ever worked? When has a team dominated the Premier League by buying cheap? Never. Man United in the late 80s, early 90s built an empire on spending money. And other things, but we spent money. Chelsea came along, they spent money. Man City came along, they spent money. And Liverpool themselves spent money. When you look at like Klopp's record signings, Van Dijk, 75 million over 5 years ago. That would be 100 million today. Alisson, goalkeeper, years ago, 65 million. Darwin Nunez, all right, he flopped. They still spent 65 million. Szoboszlai, 60 million. Naby Keita, 53 million. Jota, 41 million. Fabinho, years ago, 40 million. Like, Liverpool spent their way to the top. Everybody spends their way to the top. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind plans for success, but the people who sit there and say, it's a good thing that we're not spending money anymore, we've made mistakes in the past. How many more times do I have to tell these people, your logic is flawed, there is no pathway to success on buying cheap shit. There's no way. In fact, there's no pathway to success in buying cheap. There just isn't. And just because we wasted money on Jadon Sancho and gave him 300 grand a week and spent £75 million, what a waste of money. But analyse the deal. Learn the mistakes from that deal. If you spend £75 million on Jadon Sancho and you give him 300 grand a week, the guy's 26 and a free agent and nobody wants him. Like, there's something to analyse there. How did we give him that money and that fee? And he's clearly not very good. We have to analyse that deal. Who was involved in the recruitment? Who scouted him? Analyse the deal. Don't say, we're not spending £75 million and giving 300 grand a week again. That's the wrong conclusion. Look at the deal. Look at the mistakes for the deal. Because I know loads of players I'd spend £75 million on and give 300 grand a week to. But we seem to have gone the other way where we go, well, we did it once, let's not do it again. That's not the problem. The problem was the deal. Analyse the deal. Who was involved in the deal? Who scouted Sancho? Who looked at Sancho? How did we treat him when we brought him in? Why did it go wrong? Look at the deal. Don't blanket go, we're not going to pay that anymore. It's illogical. There's so many players out there worth £100 million and 300 grand a week who would be brilliant at Man United. But we're now saying we're not going to do it anymore. It's so illogical. It's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. But some people seem to think this is a clever idea, which is why I go back to the start and say, if we somehow miraculously did give £75 million to Newcastle for Lewis Hall and overpaid, I'd be over the fucking moon. If we did go and give Bournemouth £80 million for Alex Scott, I'd be over the moon. Because I think this is the thing we need to do. We need to buy good players in a market where you have to pay top dollar. But if we want to compete, we've got to do it. And every summer we say we're not going to do it, we're going to fall further and further behind. We can't win the league title. I hope we can, but logically we're not winning the league. It's very sad before a ball's been kicked to say that Man United can't win the league. We can't win the league. Was there an opportunity where we could have won the league? Probably not. Probably not. But if we had bought Lewis Hall and we had bought Mateus Fernandes and we had bought Tonali and we had bought Tielemans and we bought in Brobby, I wouldn't be as firm that we're not winning the league as I am now. It would still be difficult, but I'd go, we might have an outside chance. We've got no chance. And that's what I mean. If you spend the money on the right players, you've got a chance. We just haven't bothered. So we've got no chance, in my opinion. Jay Bay says, the way the club's board has got so many of our supporters to enjoy playing bookkeeper to billionaires should be studied. It was a masterclass. Harry says, would you sell Rashford to Spurs? Marcus Rashford won't go to another Premier League club. He won't go to Turkey. He won't go to Saudi. The Barcelona ship has sailed. I don't think Real Madrid or Bayern Munich or PSG will go anywhere near him. So we're stuck with Rashford and he's stuck with us. Call it what it is. This is a place for honesty. Rashford's at Man United because no one wants him. That's the truth. If someone wants to come out, well, no one wants him where he'll go. That's the fair thing. I personally think Rashford at Arsenal would be a decent deal. I've always said that. I think Arsenal-Rashford would be a very, very clever deal for Arsenal and Rashford, but I don't think he'll go to another Premier League club. And I wouldn't go to Spurs. They failed by their own metric, not ours, says Lex. Carrick is the new Martin O'Neill, bored stooge, says Perth. Sunrisers Army says, I don't think Rashford is faultless either. He has a lot of interest from Turkey and Saudi, but wants bigger clubs. Why should United cave in? Also, Cunha has Rashford's shirt and his position. He's getting neither from us. I think Carrick will start Rashford. I think Carrick has favourites, Maguire, Luke Shaw. And I think Rashford will be a favourite as well. I think he will start him. And I think he has to start him. I don't think you can bench somebody that's going to make that much noise off the field. I think you have to start him. The problem is if you start him and it doesn't go well, it starts... Carrick's in a horrible situation. If this doesn't go well, it's on him. The documentary, if it doesn't go well, he's going to look an idiot. If he's not backed in the summer, his job's difficult. I don't think the board have helped Michael Carrick at all this summer. The transfer window is shit. Bringing Rashford back puts a lot of pressure on him, and the documentary puts a lot of pressure on him, and he's got no experience. I feel for Carrick. I think it's, if he can, it's, he will get the blame. I agree with Dylan. It's not Carrick's fault, but it will be. Dylan, you're massively naive. It wasn't Amrim's fault. It wasn't Ollie's fault. It wasn't Mourinho's fault exclusively. It was the board, but it will always be the manager. When the season kicks off, you never hear about Wilcox and Berada. It will be Carrick every week. That's what will happen. We've been outspent by River. Done that from Calvin as well. Thank you very much, sir. Anything else you want to talk about? Yes. If he stays, he'd be bench first few weeks, then in, says Robert. I mean, he might be happy to be on the bench to start off with, and that might be a clever idea, Robert. I mean, starting him straight away, if he doesn't do well, will kick off straight away, won't it? Having said that, Robert, I think he'll start him because you're playing Hull and Ipswich. Chances are he gets a few goals. You can live off those. Carrick looks good. You know, we've got some very winnable games at the start. So, you know, I don't know which way. Our desperation pushes prices up. Clear the debts, says Keel. And Jay Bay, we've done that. Right, I want to talk about how much we could have spent this summer because I'm sort of doing this live with you as well, not just the show. So this came in with, it was Swedish Rumble, which is an account I really like. Give it a follow, at Swedish Rumble. Definitely around financials, etc. So I'm reading this with you for the first time because I remember them saying at the start of the summer, United could spend around 300 million. So I'll read this out and then we'll analyse it. He says, per value ball, with which Kieran Maguire is involved, who is a football financial expert, how much could United spend under FFP rules? Valuable estimates that United's squad cost is 56%, which is 14% from the 70% threshold. Consequently, United could increase the cost of its squad with 14%. The cost can be increased as well. What does that mean in terms of transfer spending? In pure yearly costs, it's 125 million. Remember, the yearly cost for signing a player for 100 million and paying him 200k a week is £30 million. So United could afford more than four signings at 100 million each, paying 200k a week without breaching FFP. Wow. So basically, on a very, very basic level, because if you buy somebody for 100 million pounds and you give them 200 grand a week, it costs you 30 million because of installments, etc. So United could sign four players at 100 million pound each and give them 200k a week and not breach FFP. So effectively, we can spend 400 million pounds and 800 grand a week on wages in this summer transfer window, and we wouldn't breach FFP. So if anything comes out about, well, FFP or PSR, Man United comfortably could spend 10 times what we've done. Our net spends 40, we could spend 400 million. So, it shouldn't come as breaking news. Man United could spend a lot, but won't. And we won't because of who owns us. This is not like Newcastle or Aston Villa, who've got rich owners, but they can't spend money because they're limited by FFP. We can, but we're limited by our owners. It goes on to say that, please note that in relation to United's income in 2024-25, the room for United to spend under FFP is even bigger now that they're in the Champions League. Goes on to say, I have several times this summer window heard insiders, supposedly with sources within the club, refer to how United had to wait before the new financial year to make deals due to FFP. I hope everybody understands how absurd such reports are. So why isn't United spending more? It's simple. Our owners aren't backing that spending. Arsenal, Liverpool, Newcastle, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, Villa owners are on a regular basis pushing hundreds of millions into those clubs. Our owners are not, and we are paying their private debt. Well, I think that's a very easy thing for everybody to understand. United could have spent hundreds of millions of pounds this summer and not breached FFP. Other clubs are doing it. We've seen Spurs do it. They finish fourth from bottom. They're not in Europe. They're spending hundreds of millions of pounds. Chelsea have spent hundreds of millions of pounds for years and are not in Europe and are doing it again. Man United in the Champions League, £40 million net spend, could easily spend another £200-300 million this summer, and they won't, because we have owners that are servicing their own private debt with our club's revenue. So it's not rocket science, it's not breaking news, but it's just a little bit of a pointer. And credit to Swedish Rumble. Do not listen to the bullshit about Man United trying to make out that it's a challenging market and they can't spend. They can. The only thing that limits Man United is FFP and PSR. It limits other clubs. We are not limited by that. We could spend hundreds of millions of pounds, we just won't do it. And we've said this many times before, but it's worth repeating. You will hear things like, it's challenging, we've got to cut our cloth accordingly, we've got debts, right? This is why I didn't want Ineos to get into bed with the Glazers, because I could see it coming a mile off. They'll get into bed with the Glazers, who have rinsed this club for 20 years, and then the cycle will continue where they talk about challenging markets, this, that, and the other. If we had an owner that was rich, like other clubs, who doesn't want to use the club as their own personal bank, they want to use the club as a project to win, like Man City and other clubs, we would be flying. We would be spending £300-400 million every summer. We are completely and utterly held back by our owners. And this is why I didn't want anybody to get into bed with the Glazers, because you basically just let their reign of terror continue. If we got rid of them, we'd be operating like Spurs and Chelsea and everybody else. But we don't operate like them because of our owners. And if anybody out there still thinks this is a good summer transfer window, listen to the last few minutes. We've spent £40 million net spend. We could have spent £300-400 million. And the reason we don't is because of the owners. End of story. End of conversation. There is nowhere else to go. We could have spent another £300 million easily based on the way the club is run and the books. But we won't do it because our owners rinse us for their own personal debt. End of story. And some people still sit there championing them, saying we're having a good summer transfer window. And journalists sit there wiping their arse for them without doing proper journalistic work. It's a propaganda machine, and it has been for years, and people still protect it, and I don't know why. Maybe they don't educate themselves. Maybe, you know, why as a Man United fan would you logically sit there and go, I'm tired of us spending big money. I think we should try and be successful in a way that no one else has ever been successful before. I think we should try and win the league without spending money. I think it's a good thing that we don't spend big money anymore. And yet we're a club with a £40 million net spend who could spend £350 million. And we've got owners going, well, I actually think we should pocket that £300 million. I actually think we shouldn't spend that £300 million. How mad is that? How mad is that that we've got fans applauding us for not spending the money we could spend to make the team better? I'd actually rather we didn't spend big money. Madness. Madness how indoctrinated they've become, brainwashed they've become by this personal debt money machine of Manchester United. Scary. It's scary. And they've got no comeback to that because it's all fact. All fact. The only thing they'll say is, but we need to stop spending big money on mistakes. Yeah, we do. What? We do. We do need to stop spending money on big mistakes. Wow. No. We do need to stop spending big money on big mistakes. We don't need to stop spending big money on good players. Well, no, I agree with you. We've got to stop spending big money on big mistakes. But we haven't got to stop spending big money on good signings. It's a very different thing. All that best-in-class bollocks, says Glenn. Exactly. BN, welcome to the Members Club. If Mark was a player, which position will he play? Says TAWF. Wait till Tuesday, you'll find out. I was literally asked that for something that's happening on Tuesday. Acid says, I sent an email yesterday called The State of the Club, and I hope you see it and enjoy it. You might find it eye-opening regarding finances. I'll have a look at that, and we can always bring it into a later show. Jed says, the way I understand the rules was if you spend $400 million in this window, you can only spend around $160 in the next window due to squad cost ratio. To spend more, you need to sell academy players. But mate, if we spent $400 million this window, we wouldn't need to spend $400 million next window. I'd be happy with, mate, our net spend's 40. $160 now would be fucking amazing. $160 is still a lot of money. It still gets you... still gets you three really good players, but £350 million now would probably get you six good players, five or six good players, another three next summer. I don't want to spend £400 million every year. That's stupid. I don't want to do that. There are summers where you need to spend, and there are summers where you don't need to spend as much. This is a summer under a new manager when we needed to spend big. We haven't done it. If you look at Jurgen Klopp, when he got the Liverpool job, there were big summers at different times of his reign, not every year. This was the summer where I wanted to see a £300 million spent on a new manager, on a new project. Next summer, I'd say two or three players. I wouldn't say another four or five. And I don't even know if that's how the rules work anyway, Jed, to be honest. Anyway, look, great show this morning. Don't forget, it is a match day. Bottom right-hand corner to subscribe. We are going to be back live at... it's a 4 o'clock kickoff, isn't it? So we'll definitely be live for 4 o'clock. PSG against Manchester United. I expect a win today, so it should be quite a positive. A lot of people say, I don't want us to win because it just covers... if Man United think beating PSG reserves or Atletico Madrid reserves in pre-season is a reason not to buy players, wait and see what happens in March when we play PSG first team. You know, we do need to buy players regardless of winning today. So I'm not worried about that. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. I'll speak to you on the next one. Great show today and really good topics. Really enjoyed that. And I'll speak to you all later. Great show. Thank you.